word of God this evening from 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And we'll be reading the first 15 verses. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and they said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha. And they said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and they stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and he wrapped it together, and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Our text is verses 9 and 10. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So far, the reading of God's word, may God add his blessing upon the reading and preaching of it. Beloved in our Lord, it was time for Elijah to go to heaven. God had told Elijah that he would take him up to heaven without dying by a whirlwind. Elijah had not been idle. The Lord had him busy working in these 10 years. Elijah had been confronting the evil house of Ahab. And then he had confronted the evil house of Ahab's son, Ahaziah. Elijah had reorganized the schools of the prophets, which had probably been started by Samuel. And now Elijah had one task left before him before he went to heaven: to visit those schools one more time. Visit those schools beginning at Gilgal. Why visit those schools? They were about to lose their very powerful leader. For Elijah was a great man of God. He was that voice crying out in the wilderness. And soon they would not be able to depend upon his voice any longer. He would visit them one more time because it was such a dark time of apostasy and idol worship. They needed a leader to spur them on and encourage them. Spur them on one more time before he left them. Yes, Elijah wanted to spur them on and encourage them and say farewell. And so at Gilgal, Elijah turns to Elisha, his servant, and he says, Stay here. But Elisha responds with an oath. As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. That is the promise that Elisha had made to Elijah the very first time that Elijah had put the mantle upon his shoulders. I will follow after thee. And now I'm not going to leave thee. And at each one of these cities, Elijah repeats this, Tarry here. And Elisha repeats this oath, As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And at each of these cities, the sons of the prophets also know that Elijah is going to depart. They don't know the circumstances, but they know this is it. And so they say to Elisha, Do you know your master is going to leave you? And he says, I know. Be quiet. They're hinting for information. They don't know the circumstances. How is he leaving? They're looking for more information. How, when, where? And just as they don't know, Elisha doesn't know either. Why? Why is Elijah suggesting to Elisha to remain behind? We can only suppose it's because he is such a humble, first of all, because he's a very humble man. Given to Elijah is going to be a very tremendous honor, an honor that had been only given to one other man in history, Enoch. That he would not see death, that he would be taken directly up into heaven. Elijah is a humble man, and he doesn't want Elisha to see that glory. He doesn't want others to see the glory that is given to him. He wants others only to see the glory of God. God receives glory. He wants no glory for himself. But he's also testing Elisha. Testing Elisha, his servant. For Elisha does not know how Elijah is going to depart from him. He doesn't know it's going to be in a way of glory. He knows that Elijah is going to be parted from him, but will it be through a way of contest? Will it be in a way of soldiers seeking his life? For if you look back only in a chapter before that, Ahaz has sent soldiers three times, captains with 50s, to take Enoch by force. And now his wicked son is on the throne, no better than his father. Will Elisha, if there's a confrontation, run away? Run away just as Jesus' disciples did run away when Judas came with the soldiers against Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Yes, Peter had said, "We'll never leave thee nor forsake thee," but they all forsook Jesus. There's a test. "Tarry here," says Elijah, and Elisha says, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." A faithful servant. Elisha does not leave his master. And so while the 50 prophets in Jericho watch from afar, Elijah and Elisha went to the Jordan River. And Elijah takes his mantle off his shoulders and he wraps it up. And as Moses took his rod and he struck the river, so now also Elijah strikes the river with his mantle. And boys and girls, the waters part. And by faith, Elijah and Elisha walk on dry ground. As Israel entered into the land of Canaan on dry ground, so now Elijah and Elisha cross the Jordan, because Elijah is going to cross the Jordan and enter into his heavenly mansion on dry ground. Elijah will receive his reward, and Elisha must carry on the tremendous work. Notice with me the theme, the double portion of Elijah's spirit. The double portion of the spirit of Elijah requested, the spirit of Elijah received, and the mantle taken up. The spirit of Elijah requested. In verse 19, Elijah asks his adopted son what he can do for him. We read in verse 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. One of the Puritans made a significant point there on the last part of that phrase. Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. What's significant about that? Well, it would be useless to ask the master after he was taken away, because we have only one intercessor in heaven, that is Jesus Christ. Unlike what Rome teaches, they believe that there's many intercessors in heaven. There's only one intercessor in heaven, that is Christ Jesus. No, Elijah says, now's the time to ask, and then I'm going to be taken away. Ask now before I'm taken away. Elijah had visited and he had encouraged all the sons of the prophets in Gilgal, in Bethel, and finally in Jericho. And now he turns to his faithful and his cheerful servant and successor, Elisha. Ask what I can do for you. What a bitter, sweet parting. Elijah would be in heaven, and Elisha would be left here alone on earth. What will you have? Ask. It's kind of like the question that God put to young Solomon when he is put in the position of ruling over all of Israel. God asked young Solomon, ask what you will. What will I give to you? Will it be riches? Will it be power? Will it be safety? And young Solomon recognized if he was going to rule over that great and mighty nation, there was one thing that was necessary. And he asked for it, didn't he? Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Or one is reminded of Jesus' words to his disciples. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Or again, in Luke 11, verse 13, if ye then evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Elijah says to Elisha, ask, what shall I give you? Would Elisha be foolish enough not to ask? Would pride stand in the way? Or would unbelief stand in the way? Would pride stand in the way and say, well, I don't need anything, I could do it by myself? Or would unbelief stand in the way? What can he do for me? Will pride or unbelief stand in our way when our Master Jesus Christ says, ask and ye shall receive. Ask anything in my name. Ask and I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Do you think that you can live the Christian life in your own strength, in your own wisdom? Oh, beautifully, Elisha's master says to him, ask what I shall do for thee. And our master Jesus Christ says that to us. Ask, and ye shall receive. So what does Elisha ask in our text? And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. What a noble prayer, what a noble request. He showed what was deep in his heart. Elisha knew the matter of the great spiritual warfare that was going on. And he knew his own weakness. He knew his own inability. He knew his own insignificance and his own smallness. And he knew the great loss which Israel would sustain with Elijah's departure. There was no man comparable with Elijah. What would a humble, humble man this Elisha was. So what is his request? I wish to be twice endued with the Holy Spirit. I wish to be enriched with his gifts as thou hast been. What he is asking here for is the birthright of the firstborn son. Elijah had many sons, didn't he? The sons of the prophets. But Elisha is the firstborn son. The mantle had been put on him. He is the adopted son who is going to be the successor. Elisha is not asking for anything that nature, his human nature, could have coveted. But he's asking for that which is spiritual. He's not asking for self-aggrandizement. He's not asking that he's going to be some important person. But he's asking for the glory of God. He's not asking that he's going to be superior to his master. But he's asking for a double portion to that which what the other prophets would receive. Because he has to take Elijah's place on the stage of public action. Because he's going to have to be the leader now of the other prophets. And therefore he wants to be equipped for the mission. Do you see, people of God, he coveted earnestly the best gifts. He desired to be best equipped, qualified for his office. He wanted a double portion of the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of wisdom and of grace, the spirit of faith and strength, so that he would be thoroughly equipped, furnished unto all good work. I want a double portion of thy spirit. What a noble request, what a noble prayer by a humble man. And what is Elijah's response? Verse 10. Thou hast asked a hard thing. What does that mean? You have asked for something of great value. That's what really Elijah is saying. You have asked for something of great value. You have asked for something that is very great. You expect an awful lot. You expect something that I can't give you myself, that only God can give you. And that's why Elijah goes on to ask for a sign. A sign that is completely in God's control. He says to Elisha, if you see me when I am taken up from you, then what you are asking for will be granted to you. What you desire will be fulfilled. It is God's will for you. And if you cannot see it, then it is not God's will and it will not be granted to you. If you see it, if you see me when I'm taken up, that is the sign that this is God's will for you. A double portion of my spirit. But your eye has to be fixed on me. The Spirit requested. Notice with me, in the second place then, the Spirit of Elijah is received. The Spirit of Elijah is received. God took his servant up. The grand moment, boys and girls, arrived. Elijah had fully discharged his duties. He did the work that God had given to him. He had preserved his garments from being spotted by the apostate religious world. Now his conflict was over. His course was run. His victory was going to be given to him. There was no home, there's no resting place here. And so he presses on to his heavenly rest. There appeared. Can you see it in your mind's eye? There appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And they parted, Elijah and Elisha. They came between them. And Elijah was carried up to heaven in a whirlwind. Notice, it is not the chariot and the horses that carried up Elijah to heaven. The horses and the chariots of fire parted Elijah and Elisha, and the whirlwind carried Elijah up to heaven. And Elisha is left behind. And Elisha saw it. Elisha saw the chariot of fire and he saw the horses of fire. He had the eyes to see it. In only a couple chapters later in the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 6, you boys and girls maybe remember that story when Elisha and his servant are in Dothan. And the king of Syria is pretty angry with Elisha. Because every time the king of Syria is trying to attack the Israelites, Elisha tells the king of Israel exactly where the Syrians are going to attack, and he tells the king of Israel, stay away from there. And the king of Syria says, someone is betraying me. Someone is telling all my secrets to the Israelites. And they tell him, yes, there's a man down there in Israel. It's the prophet Elisha. He's telling all the secrets. And so finally, the king of Syria attacks and he surrounds Dothan. And the servant of Elisha is afraid because they're surrounded by the Syrians. And then Elisha has to pray to God. He says, Lord, open up the eyes of my servant so he may see. And when the eyes of Elisha's servant are opened up, then he is able to see the chariots and the horses of fire that surround the city of Dothan. That is God's horses and chariots, securing God's covenant people, God's covenant man, Elisha and his servant, that would not allow the Syrians to attack. It's those kind of eyes that Elisha has. He is able to see the chariots of fire and the horses of fire, and he is able to see Elijah, his master, taken up in a whirlwind. And he says, verse 12, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What's he mean? What does he mean? Elijah was his spiritual father who had taught him the things of God. And yes, Elijah was those chariots of fire and the horses of fire that defended the nation. They were the chariots of God's judgment on the wicked men in that nation. Elijah had been that chariot of Israel, defending God's covenant people, but also speaking words of judgment upon the wicked in that nation. And now Elijah, that chariot of fire and horses of fire, was carried up to God's house. God's servant, Elijah, was wonderfully rewarded, wasn't he? How much better God's ways are than ours. For do you remember Elijah's words when he was underneath the juniper tree, when he was so despondent? When under the juniper tree he says to the Lord, "Let me die, take my life away." The Lord says, "No." The Lord had something better in mind for Elijah. When his work was done, the Lord would take him up whole into heaven. No death. The Lord rewards the righteous. The Lord rewards the righteous. In a day of almost universal apostasy, what a peculiar honor here. No one would touch his anointed. The Lord takes him up to heaven to be with him. Elisha sees it with his eyes. And seeing it, he has a sign. He has a pledge there. His request is granted. And his desire is given. A double portion of Elijah's spirit. And what is Elisha's response? He tears his outer cloak in parts. He tears his clothing in humility before God, even as the mantle of Elijah falls down at his feet. Oh, the weight. Oh, the weight of the responsibility that breaks upon Elisha's mind and heart. In himself, he could never carry out this great task. It's the kind of responsibility that fills the mind and heart of a pastor as he comes behind a pulpit. It's the kind of weight of the responsibility that fills an elder or a deacon as they approach their office. It's the responsibility that fills the heart and the mind of the office of every believer. How do I live as a child of God? How do we live in this sinful world? There Elisha stands alone, no longer able to consult Elijah, his father, no longer able to have sweet fellowship with him. ask questions, pray with him or consult with him. Rending his garments, indicating his recognition of his own inability and insufficiency. It shows his brokenness before God and his appeal to God for God's strength. To put it in today's jargon, it would be, how in the world can I fill my master's shoes? When I came here to Byron, your pastor, Reverend Vanover Lope, had been here. Very energetic man, well-liked man. I could ask the question, how can I fill his shoes? Well, here is a different kind of terminology. How can I fill Elisha? How can I fill his mantle? How can I fulfill his calling, his task? And the Lord drops the mantle of Elijah before Elisha's feet and says, go. You see, it was God who put that mantle on Elijah, and it is God who puts it on Elisha. And that same God is present, isn't he? Yes, the servant is gone. The Lord took him up. But that same God is still present, the everlasting one. Now the servant is removed. The master is there. He continues. God's ears never fail. Elisha picks up that mantle. God places it on his shoulders, and he goes forth. What does that mean? What is the heritage of that mantle? It is, first of all, the mantle of Elijah, isn't it? The name Elijah means, my God is Jehovah. In that dark time in which Ahab served Baal, and even though Jehu destroyed that worship of Baal, the other idols continued. Elisha takes up the mantle of Elijah, who declares, my God is Jehovah, no other God. And Elijah would stand with that God just as the old prophet had done. So watch him. Watch him as he takes that mantle also. And as he rolls it up, as he comes to the Jordan, and he also smotes the Jordan. And the water goes hither and thither. And he walks on dry ground. And he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He walks in faith and in confidence. The God who had given strength to Elijah is the same God who will give strength to him as he takes up this task. He will empower him. The Lord will enable him to give leadership to the sons of the prophets and give leadership to God's people in Israel. And yes, the sons of the prophets, that is the 50 of them that are standing watching from afar, they see Elisha coming across the Jordan. They see that demonstration of power and listen to them as they say, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They too are encouraged. They're not left alone. They are given a new leader. The spirit of Elisha. It is that spirit. It is that spirit that enables now Elisha to carry on, to be the successor of Elijah, to bear that word of the Lord, that two-edged sword, that two-edged sword that is going to bring salvation, but that two-edged sword that is also going to be that fire that destroys those who are rebellious and disobedient. It is that spirit that is going to enable Elisha to bring that burden of the prophecy, to bring the word of God, to care for the covenant of God, to be filled with the concern of the glory of God. No, Elisha, you don't go all alone, do you? Yes, your master Elijah is gone, but your God goes with you and his spirit fills you. There's a beautiful song in our Psalter, number 79. My God, it was thy grace that did my strength supply. Or another stanza, with grief to gladness turned, with sorrow changed to joy. Thy praise I have learned, and songs my lips employ. Bittersweet. Elisha had to say goodbye to his faithful master, his spiritual father. But he is equipped. He is equipped with the spirit of Elijah, and he carries the mantle of Elijah, a double portion of the spirit. And it's interesting now, with that double portion of the spirit, if we look at his life and his ministry, the length of Elisha's ministry is double the length of Elijah's ministry. The number of miracles of Elisha is double the number of miracles of Elijah. Yes. Yes. Servants are taken away, but God continues his word, doesn't he? A great man was taken away, Elijah. But another great man is given to walk in his steps. We can learn from that as a church. We lament as we look back in history. Luther is taken away. A Calvin is taken away. A Huxema served and he's taken away. And a Poff was here and he's taken away. And we ask, who will take up the reins? The Lord does not forget his church. The Lord raises up sons of the prophets. The Lord cares for his church. And he will lead her through the dark times ahead. As the Lord commissioned Elijah to anoint Elisha, to train him, to put his mantle on him, now the Lord gives a double portion of his spirit to Elisha to carry on the work, to lead these sons of the prophets to carry on the work. God gives to this young prophet that humble spirit. Not in my own strength, Lord. With his eye on his master, he asks for this double portion and he receives it. And now he carries on his work. Beloved, we have a great master that has gone before us, don't we? Our Lord Jesus. Our eyes upon our Lord Jesus. He's put his mantle on his church. And he too gives his spirit, doesn't he, at Pentecost. And he says, now ask, and you shall receive. Ask anything in my name. And if your fathers know how to give good gifts to you, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What a tremendous task lays before us. We of ourselves are insufficient, unable. But, O Church of Jesus Christ, though the times are dark, though there is great apostasy, God equips His church. When He puts His mantle on her, He equips her with a spirit. It is only by that spirit that we carry on the task, preaching the word in season and out of season, a two-edged sword. The spirit of Elijah requested. The spirit of Elijah received. The mantle of Elijah taken up. Amen. Father, we thank Thee that our Lord Jesus Christ, who commanded to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, is also the one who said, "Lo, I am with you always." And He is also the one who said, "I will send my Spirit." And so as the church, we pray for that Spirit. We pray that Thou wilt send forth reapers, for Thou art the Lord of the harvest. And the harvest is great. The fields are white unto harvest. Send forth the reapers. May the church, may they go forth in faith then, equipped to gather in all Thy precious grain, all those who are Thine. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalters to number 75. Bless Thine inheritance. Our Savior be, I pray. Supply Thou all Thy people's need and be their constant stay. Let's sing 1, 4, 5, and 6.
Somewhere.
him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.